Where we expand our ability to communicate and unite the struggles of African people towards victory and independence in our lifetime. I'm Ron Bob Semple, and here on the forum, we'll examine issues that affect Caribbean and Caribbean American nationals, both at home and across the diaspora. We'll bring you news and views, interludes of music, thought-provoking discussions, Caribbean theater of the mind. Well, in the aftermath of the massive earthquake which devastated Haiti on January 12th, when hundreds of thousands lost their lives and millions were left homeless, there was concern that there could be an outbreak of diseases such as cholera. Well, it has happened primarily in the rural areas of Haiti. The recent outbreak has already claimed over 150 lives and approximately 1,000 have been reported as being affected. And cholera is a waterborne bacterial infection spread through contaminated water. Some patients said they drank water from a public canal, while others said they bought purified water. The hurricane season has caused widespread flooding, which more than likely has contributed to this epidemic. During our second hour, we'll get an update from Nixon Ranville, our correspondent on the ground in Haiti. And also joining us will be Eileen Josephat, a founder and president of Kalos International, which has been assisting Haitian nationals even before the earthquake. But in our first hour, we'll chat with Austin Tuitt. He's the founder and innovator of the Global Caribbean Representation, which is the title of his new book. So tell someone the Caribbean Forum is on the air for the next 2 hours. We heard every Saturday from 9 to 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on the Uhuru Radio Network. You know, just imagine how powerful and strong the Caribbean region could be if we just come together as one Caribbean. Now here's David Rudder giving us reasons why this should be on our minds.
One Caribbean, one Have shown the way, and from our roots of resistance and old suffering, we can ride through this new sorrow. We march too bright in spirit not to find a better day. And in this new world order time, we have this common crisis. Our debts won't die away, and social tensions on the rise. From Havana to Georgetown, all the danger. Common front, it's time that we realize that it's one Caribbean, one Caribbean, one heart, together in a changing world, yeah, yeah, one Caribbean, one Caribbean, one soul, reaching for a common goal. I'm saying one Caribbean, one Caribbean.
Yes, I'm getting you started this morning.
Yep.
Yeah, welcome back to Caribbean Forum with me, Ron Bob Semple. Here we're listening in the background to One Caribbean by David Rutter. And joining us on the line this morning is Austin Tewitt. He's the author of Global Caribbean Representation, his new work. Mr. Tewitt, good morning and welcome to Caribbean Forum, and especially welcome to the Uhuru Radio Network.
Good morning to you and your beautiful listeners. Welcome, and thanks for having me.
Yeah, thank you. It is a pleasure, and we look forward to chatting with you and getting into this new work of yours, and we are going to get right into it. Mr. Tewitt, is the Global Caribbean Representation a concept or a movement? And if it is, why should not only Caribbean nationals, but citizens of the world adopt it?
Well, it is exactly a concept and a movement the concept is the United Peoples Inclusive. The Global Caribbean Representation is the forum from which the United Peoples Inclusive is being launched. And it's exactly that, global. It's not limited to Caribbean and Caribbean people.
What motivated you to embark on this project?
Well, I, in my travels and my observation, I realized that what is intrinsic to every individual is that of a need to belong. And that belongingness goes beyond any home or any community or nation. It's a global thing, and that's why the word global is the operative word in this concept.
When you say need to belong, specifically, what are you referring to?
Well, you need to belong. Now, you need to belong to the world at large. We need to recognize the all inclusiveness that is necessary, and I find that most of our social institutions didn't come together to recognize the oneness that comes from the diversity that we have, the diverse gifts that we all have. It is diverse for the purpose of unity. Unity comes from diversity, and this is what diversity is for. So in my realization that is necessary, or the lack of which gets us into conflict, and as you see, the conflict is in the global. The conflict is now global, and it's intensifying. The global Caribbean representation, it's the way it got started, is by establishing an entity, which is the Caribbean Women Social and Cultural Association of America. 24 years ago, that is, June 26, 2011, will be the 25th year. And that body was impregnated with giving birth to a globally unified people that would be fitted for perpetual global stewardship or toward global harmony.
But Austin, how conscious are we of this diversity to which you refer?
I don't think there is much consciousness when we look at our world. I don't think that we are conscious of much except self-preservation, individualism. I don't see much consciousness. This is why I recognize this as a Herculean task. It's not going to be something easy. But without it, even the earth will not be able to sustain us if we don't change our behavior, the way we use things, the lack of consciousness that you refer to. That is posing a serious problem.
With the chronic state of worldwide corruption, do leaders, whether they be state leaders or otherwise, realize the essence of globalization?
Well, I believe some of them are beginning to recognize this. The widening gap between the people who are the minority who have the resources of the world resources to themselves. They are realizing that this is not healthy for our sustenance on Earth. If we should continue as we are moving, the lack of understanding as to how to preserve what is here, there are finite resources that are being depleted. And these resources, we would not always be able to find something else. We have done a good job of that throughout the years, but that is lessening. And if you take the resource of that is causing the wars around the world, a major one, which is energy for heating and moving our vehicles and whatnot, these energies, they are finite, and they are becoming depleted. They're recognizing that. And given the rapid increase of the population on Earth, we are going to, if we continue as we are going, we will not be able to be sustained in, I would give us a few more decades.
Speaking of resources, the Caribbean, throughout the Caribbean, there's so many natural resources. You know, take, for instance, in Guyana, gold, diamond, manganese, bauxite. You know, in Jamaica, in Trinidad, in Grenada. With all of these natural resources and all of this natural wealth, why is it that the Caribbean is still in the economic state in which it is?
Well, the Caribbean is a major problem. Given our social institutions, they are put together by colonizers, and that hasn't changed. The colonizers, when they have been very callous with things, they self-centered, and the skills that we need, and the will, the drive to bring those resources to the point of amenities, those skills and the awareness in particular is not with us. And so this is why the Global Caribbean Representation, one of the major founding elements of it, is awareness, power for success, the core of which is to how you identify your natural resources from which you will glean products and commodities and have a controlling interest, a generous controlling interest. That is not with the Caribbean, because to make a slave, and you know our background is from slave, and that element is not going to go from us that easily if we don't first recognize it and be deliberate in eradicating it. So we are fragmented, and we don't really trust each other, and that's the state of that's a recipe for not building.
When you say the skills are not with us, are you referring to the brain drain that has severely affected the Caribbean?
More so the will. The will is not there. The potential is for it with everyone is there, but the will is not there. And the brain drain that you talk about is something that we could readily identify. For instance, I came to this country, America.
Where from?
Excuse me?
Where from?
From Trinidad, in the Caribbean, Trinidad. And I came to this country 4 decades ago. When I came, my focus was on developing me as an individual for me. Until I recognized that it was to do that, I had to first invest in the collective. I had to first understand the collective, what was taking place with the people who I understood, my natural allies. And so the Caribbean Women's Social and Cultural Association of America was founded for that purpose. And that body was impregnated with giving birth to a unified people. But the awareness power for success is when you talk in terms about identifying your natural resources and gleaning products and commodities from that, we're talking here about the invocation of the entrepreneurial spirit, which is to make investments, to build things, not to just to simply look towards continuing servitude, whereby you work for someone else and you get payment at the end of that line. It's hardly likely that you would be driven to create and build from grassroots up. So I come to realize that this is what is needed among us. And so I began to use that skills, the gifts that I had to promote, to be in the arts. I've been in the arts. I've been on the stage, and I was involved in composing and performing and producing. And I thought that skill could be used to motivate the entrepreneurial spirit. So you would find that some of my work would be like the theme songs for this movement. The one is titled The Business Plan Rap. The other is She Is Having a Baby. And the other, I'm going to use three theme songs. And the other would be Many Names, One God. We can take these gifts that we have and use them to build a forum, a unity forum, whereby everyone can, to which everyone can feel a sense of belonging to.
If you've just joined us, you're listening to Caribbean Forum with me, Ron Bob Semple. Here on the Uhuru Radio Network, we are chatting with Austin Tewitt, the author and the motivator behind Global Caribbean Representation, which is subtitled By Our People's Will from Grassroots Up. Austin, why did you choose Marcus Garvey and Tubal Uriah Butler as the two patrons to culminate this volume?
Well, there are so many of our forerunners that share in that drive to get us, to get our entrepreneurial spirit be awakened, to be able to navigate our own destiny. I find in the case of Marcus Garvey, he was not just a leader of African people. He was concerned about fairness and equity, justice and sufficiency across the board. And so he just saw that Africans were unjustly treated, taken from their homeland to build economies for others, enrich other people. And so he sought to bring about a balance there. And so was Tubal Uriah Buzz Butler, who was born in Grenada and
moved to Trinidad.
Went to Trinidad, mm-hmm, to make his home, and he started his work from there. And he was well known throughout the world as a union leader who fought all his life for decent wages for workers who were in the oil field, who were dangerously exposed to all kinds of lethal or life-threatening conditions.
Yeah, but there are similarities between these two men. And the name Marcus Mosiah Garvey would be much more recognized than Tubal Uriah Butler. And of course, as many of us know, that Garvey was somewhat misunderstood in many of his philosophies and ideologies. Why don't we hear much about Tubal Uriah Butler?
Well, this is because we don't have that in our social institutions are not built to recognize the total relativity of everything that exists. And the universe is in its diversity is nestled in unity, because it is from it's only from diversity we can have unity. Our social institutions, our education, is not comprehensive enough for that. This is why we need a united peoples inclusive, because the people who are who set the standards and create the laws and what have you, they don't do this on behalf of all the people. They do this to control the masses of people. And so we have a growing voiceless majority, of which people like Butler and people and other people, even yourself, even myself, the work that we are doing, until we create a forum where you could continue to do what you're doing and to bring in to recognize the input of others, you would find that people like, again, Butler, that's why I chose Butler, who was doing similar work behind that of Marcus Garvey.
Right, and another similarity that he had, that he was a charismatic leader and a superb orator. But for those listeners who are not too familiar with Tubal Uriah Butler, Austin, just fill us in on who he was and what kind of impact he made to us as a people and the region and the Caribbean.
Well, Butler, with his life, And this, there again, this is why people need to look at this work, and it's only the beginning, and they themselves can continue to do to delve in deeper. Any student of global harmony needs to look at this. Butler, at the very tender age, his teens, he was enlisted in the army. The Queen's Army of the Caribbean to get to go into wars, and Butler came back. He had to lie and give them an age that over what his actual age was, and after spending 4 years. Being deployed for 4 years in Egypt and different places, when he came, that gave him an opportunity to see the kind of treatment that Africans in particular were getting at every level, not just in his home.
But wouldn't one more qualify if they gave a lesser age than what they are, than older than what they are to be accepted into that army?
Well, the age bracket was a certain age they were enlisting you from, and Butler was under that age.
Oh, okay, I get it. So it's not that he was too youthful.
No, but he had the physical stature to get in.
Yes, continue,
but
please.
But he was under the age, and so he when he got through to bring us back to where we are. When he experienced the atrocities that that African soldiers had to go through, that prepared him for the rest of his life. That gave him the forum for the rest of his life to advocate for his people. And so the others that were with him, he got into leadership and formed the first organization in his country, Grenada. He formed two organizations there before he left to advocate for his people. And then, of course, there was difficulty, poverty in Grenada. And he was exploring, so he went to Trinidad. And in Trinidad, as I mentioned in the book, in Trinidad, he got involved in the oil field, and together with one Cipriani, who was his lieutenant in the his captain in the army, was from Trinidad, and gave him support. And Butler continued to soar from there, which got to the point of, and of course, I know you wouldn't have the time to go into that.
Right, right.
Of course, you would find that he got in the process of his work, he got to the point where the confrontation with the employers, the biggest one, took place on June 19th. 1937.
And similar to Garvey, he was not a great constructive political leader, but his actions helped to bring the working class onto the center stage of national life. We're going to take a short break, Austin. You're listening to Caribbean Forum with me, Ron Bob Semple. Joining us this morning is Austin Tuitt, the author of Global Caribbean Representation. If you'd like to join us in this course, if you're calling within the confines of the United States, you can call us at area code 727-565-1599. If you're calling us from across the pond, the United Kingdom, it's 440-20-8133-6629. If you'd like to Skype us, our ID is Uhuru Radio, or you can email us at DJ as in disc jockey at uhururadio.com. We'll be right back after these very important words.
You're listening to uhururadio.com, voice of the International African Revolution.
Black is back. Yes, black is back. The Black is Back Coalition for Peace, Social Justice, and Reparations will lead a national march and rally on the White House in Washington, D.C. on November 13th this year, where young black men and Afghan men, women, and children dying as a result of U.S.-led wars of aggression in Afghanistan, in Pakistan, in Africa, and on the streets of the United States. It is time for the black community to stand up and say, hell no, we won't go. We oppose Obama's wars. Join the Black is Back Coalition in Washington, D.C. on November 13th. For more information, call 202-681-7040 or email info@blackisbackcoalition.org. For it on to D.C.
Yes, what is it good for? Absolutely nothing. We are chatting with Austin Tuitt here on Caribbean Forum. I'm Ron Bob Semple. We are talking about the Global Caribbean Representation. It is a concept and a movement, and the organization was created to bring together peoples from the Caribbean, both at home and abroad in the diaspora, who are seeking to reconnect with their roots. Austin, the Caribbean and many Caribbean nationals continue to be, and as you alluded earlier, continue to be as fragmented as the Caribbean is geographically. With our vast socio-cultural diversity, what would it take for the region to embrace each other and unite as one? Of course, the Federation did not work back in the 1960s.
Well, I think it would take a counterbalance movement, such as the Global Caribbean Representation, which is, as you would see, that we have created the a rallying emblem, which is the United People's flag. And
yeah, we'll talk about that.
You see, we have this is by our people's will, from grassroots up. The leadership that we have, that we've been privy to throughout the centuries, no one has to ask. You see where that have gotten us. And so it is the lack of the inclusiveness of the people and the gifts, the creative gifts that they would bring, that it would take an organization, an organizing of that, it would take to create the organism that would bring about that inclusiveness that we are talking about.
But many of us, Austin, do not even know our true history and the need to keep our culture vibrant.
Well, I would say that I don't know enough of my history, but the will to know more is what we need to stimulate in our people. It's not easy. Some of our people forget the next day of the goodness of others, and we are trained to do that because we are trained in a community of survival of the fittest rather than harmony. It will take the stimulating, the constant stimulating and agitating of our people to come to that willingness to know more about who you really are.
Yeah, the will may be there, Austin, but as the saying goes, if you want to keep something away from us, put it in a book.
Well, that's why we are not limiting. This movement is not limiting itself to a book. But when our people get to the point where we realize that we have that need, we will get into the book. Same here. I'm coming from experience. I wasn't in the book. I was just performing. I didn't have any affinity for history. Unfortunately, this happened in my later years. Hmm. And so I have confidence in our people's intelligence that once we begin to talk to them through different media, that will be stimulated. Given the 25 years of producing a woman's movement I'm still here working with it and looking at the history of what it has brought about. That's the kind of will that we want to instill in people. And we think that the credibility is there because the work speaks for itself. And when we begin to recognize their work to embrace it, this will stimulate the will that is necessary to bring about the harmony that we're looking for.
What other medium do you hope to use to instill these messages in the minds of us as a people?
Well, like yourself, the medium of art in general, every form of art. And that's why to create the United People's Flag, we ran an 18-month graphic arts contest, the winner of which created the United People's Flag. And we made sure that the inscription on that flag says, by our people's will, from grassroots up. It will be demonstrating a sense of embrace to everyone That's number one. That's the rallying medium. We also establish what is called CPR Day. CPR meaning not the acronym for cardiac pulmonary resuscitation, but it is the United the Caribbean People's Rally, CPR. And that rally is going to be, the period of that day is the month of May and the month of June. The month of May, so that we can recognize that month is the month where we, in perpetual honor to motherhood, where we recognize the importance of motherhood, of our women. And the month of June will be where we recognize fatherhood, the perpetual honor to fatherhood. So those 2 months we would be CPR Day. We call it CPR Day. CPR Day because it's perennial. It's a day in our life, our entire life. So we're looking at reciprocation there, reciprocation of acknowledgement, of recognition, respect, reconciliation. And then we, upon that reconciliation, we rally. So the 2 months we're talking about reconciliation, whereby we would be tapping the different community leadership, community leaders, bringing them into the loop. So it's this is not simply a medium where you have a book or you have a radio program or any of these things and you stop. We are using them as we're using all of these as perpetual rally.
Just to go back to the Caribbean People's Flag, this is radio, this is internet radio. If you can just, just describe for our listeners, what the flag looks like, and if you can share with us, what are some of the obstacles you encountered while undergoing this whole process with vetting and the competition and whatnot? Because I'm sure that. Questions were asked, how could there be one Caribbean flag and we all have gained independence at some point in time?
Well, if you would notice that this is a United People's flag. It's you can call it Caribbean flag, but because it's coming out of the Caribbean. But the vision and the focus behind the flag is to unite peoples from around the world, and the way we would do that is by recognizing one community at a time, doing social leveraging one community at a time, bringing in the community leaders to recognize this and giving them charter status in a circular manner, not this one is more than the other, recognizing that everyone is just as important as the other. And in my book, you would see that we call it total relativity. But the flag, the design of the flag, as according to the winner, is where he recognized there's a seamless recognition of turquoise and darker blue, which represents the Caribbean, Caribbean weather setting and climate, and the calmness of the Caribbean Sea, and you see a peaceful dove on it there, also recognize the stars, 27 stars, recognizing the 27 states that were initially looking to form the federation, and. You also would see these ring of gold, which is again coming back to the sunshine weather.
Austin, how could we use or by what means can we use this flag? To create that consciousness among our people to unite?
Well right now, Brother Bob, as you would see, based on our culture and our festive experience and what have you, we have grown in recent times in visibility, in leaps and bounds. That if we would tap in to that through this flag, if we would tap into that through this flag to create this entrepreneurial forum whereby together we will be building. And so, for instance, all the creativity that we see around Labor Day time in Brooklyn, Caribana in Toronto, mm-hmm. Notting Hill in the festivity in London,
Brixton, right.
And across the globe, this is expanding, but the entrepreneurship, the entrepreneurial benefits from it is not coming back to the actual performers, the people who are involved in this. It is being used to enrich the already rich individuals who are allowing it to take place in the major cities and what have you. So the rallying here is to bring about a kind of sobriety from these festive times that we're doing, whereby we could involve our different institutions, such as in particular our religious institutions. Because of the time that I have spent with my background and whatnot, we are tapping into these institutions. I'm doing a lot of different shows like this one on the religious stations and what have you. And incidentally, they are now recognizing that they need to become more community-oriented, more liberation-oriented, and more entrepreneurial-oriented with the vast congregations that they are developing. And we are getting through on that.
You're listening to Caribbean Forum with me, Ron Bob Semple, here on the Uhuru Radio Network. We're chatting with Austin Tuitt, the author of Global Caribbean Representation. We're going to take a short break. And Austin, we're going to just we have about 10 minutes left in this section of our broadcast. And I'd just like to talk with you briefly on one of the chapters, chapter 10, I think it is, where you talk about the Extended Family Unit Alliance. We'll be right back after these words.
Black is back. Yes, black is back. The Black is Back Coalition for Peace, Social Justice, and Reparations will lead a national march and rally on the White House in Washington, D.C. on November 13th this year, where young black men and Afghan men, women, and children dying as a result of U.S.-led wars of aggression in Afghanistan, in Pakistan, in Africa, and on the streets of the United States. It is time for the black community to stand up and say, hell no, we won't go. We oppose Obama's wars. Join the Black is Back Coalition in Washington, D.C. on November 13th. For more information, call 202-681-7040 or email info@blackisbackcoalition.org. For it on to D.C.
get together. Unity is the answer. This world is getting smaller. We have to unite if we must survive. Unity is what would keep us alive. Nothing else. Let us protect ourselves. What we need is one
Caribbean.
Yes, one Caribbean by the Mighty Gypsy. Oh, yes, there's unity and strength. We're chatting with Austin Tewitt, the author, as I mentioned before the break, of Global Caribbean Representation. And Austin, in Chapter 10 of your book, you talk, as I said, about the extended family unit alliance. Family togetherness has been, I can use the word severed throughout the globe, be it due to divorce, single parents, promiscuity, economic downturn. Wouldn't this family unit alliance be difficult to resolve at this point in time?
Well, the family unit alliance is, again, a tool for, and remember, this is a movement, and it's we're talking here about something that has to be worked on from generation to generation. It's not just it's not lineal. It's a circular thing. So it's a continuum, and so the family unit alliance is one of the tools, the alliances. There are five. It's a five-prong alliance, which consists of the Family Unit Alliance, the Reliable Alumni Alliance, the Ethno-Tolerance and Embrace Alliance, the Spiritual Genealogy Alliance, and the Support Alliance, the GCR Support Alliance, which is Global Caribbean Representation. But the Family Unit Alliance is the key. This is where birth was given through the family, and the continuum, the family unit is what's going to decide what kind of community we would build, because it starts from the home. And a strong family unit in particular sets the tone for not just the alliance movement, but for the dwelling or the health of the economic stability of the community as a whole. So that, in building that, we have to understand what role it plays in community building, and what role community plays in our safety. So the family unit alliance is not limited to that household. It only the household gets the global family started, and this is why we all should recognize the family unit.
Absolutely.
Which is eventually we are all, the entire globe is one family, and that is not easy to promote, as we would be aware. We are trained to be self-centered. We do a good talk about oneness and unity and what have you, but when it comes to application, we are not that strong at that. So in building the family, in recognizing the family and nurturing the family, we would find that this will help us to become closer.
Absolutely. The people of the Caribbean strive to move beyond the physical barriers of the waters that divide them towards a stronger, more cohesive and dynamic culture, one of great understanding, cooperation, and integration. According to former Prime Minister of Jamaica, P.J. Patterson, culture is the linchpin that bonds us as a people and is vital to our quality of life, unquote. And like that of any other country, is reflected in everything that we do. Our culture influences and affects our belief system and the goals we set for our future. Austin Tewitt, thank you for joining us here on Caribbean Forum this morning. If one would like to get in contact with you and find some more information on the Global Caribbean Representation movement, how can one do that?
Well, we have the our email is GCR as in Global Caribbean Representation dot LGLG at Yahoo and .com.
Repeat that, please.
GCR dot LGLG at Yahoo.com. And the telephone numbers are 718-284-4453 or 718-284-1190.
Okay, if you'd like to get in contact with Austin Tuitt, the author of Global Caribbean Representation, you can email him at gcr.lglg@yahoo.com. Austin, thank you again for joining us, and looking forward to chatting with you again in the future.
Thank you very much, Brother Bob, for having me. And I myself, same here, looking forward to chatting with you.
Thank you, sir.
All right. All the best.
You're listening to Caribbean Forum with me, Ron Bob Semple, here on the Uhuru Radio Network. As we mentioned in the opening, the outbreak of cholera is the latest devastation that is hitting our brothers and sisters in Haiti. And we're going to take a musical break. You're listening to Steel Pulse in the background, Hold On for Haiti. And at the other side of that, we're going to join our correspondent in Haiti. Hopefully, we'll be able to make a connection. And also joining us will be Eileen Josephat of the Kalos International Organization, which has been helping brothers and sisters in Haiti even before the earthquake. We'll be right back.
Easy to say, but the world is rather by your side. As we all will share with you your devastation. I know it's easy to say. Keep your head up high, but we truly sympathize with your frustration. Yes, hold on.
Hold on.
Hold on. Yes, 180. And one more time. Yes, hold on.
Hold on.
Be strong.
Be strong.
180. Yes. Have ye mighty race. Yes, I know that life is just for living and can be so unforgiving. Cause oftentimes we think there's no love. You must keep yourself believing and be a witness to your uprising.
Fortitude and resilience.
Two solid
overtures.
You're listening to WhoRadio.com, voice of the International African Revolution.
Tune into Caribbean Forum with me, Ron Bob Semple, every Saturday morning from 9 to 11 a.m. on the Uhuru Radio Network. We examine issues that affect Caribbean and Caribbean American nationals, both at home and across the diaspora. If you're not listening to Caribbean Forum with me, Ron Bob Semple, here on the Uhuru Radio Network, then your radio is not on. Oh, welcome back to Caribbean Forum. Yes, that is a recognizable voice. Welcome back to Caribbean Forum with me, Ron Bob Semple, here on the Uhuru Radio Network. As I mentioned in our opening remarks, that Haiti is again in the news, this time as a result of the January 12th earthquake. There's been an outbreak of cholera, and we are joined by our correspondent in Haiti, Nixon Ranville, and translating for us again is Eileen Josephat. She's the president and founder of the Kalos International, which has been assisting Haitian nationals even before the earthquake. Bonjour, Nixon. Comment ça va?
Bonjour, ça va bien, merci. Vous-même, nous saluons tout le monde, bonjour, et tout Haïtien, spécialement qui écoute la radio, nous saluons tout le monde.
Okay, Eileen, if you can ask Nixon, please, the news of this cholera outbreak is now hitting the global airwaves, and if he can tell us of the severity of the cholera and if the news is spreading throughout Haiti as it is throughout the world.
Oui, Nixon, c'est simple, je connais que vous connaissez la nouvelle choléra, c'est une nouvelle qui a de tout partout, les États-Unis, de tout côté. Et puis je connais que est-ce que la nouvelle a marché même genre dans Haïti?
Et femme de bien, et avant que nous commencions, nous saluons tout Haïtien qui a vu dans la radio, et spécialement. Na tout l'État Floride là, et dans tout l'État Unis, etc. Et normalement, et avant de commencer, nous voulons un gros condoléances pour toute la famille victime, et spécialement dans Balatibonite et puis dans le plateau central, et qui déjà affecté par gros événement ça qui s'est collé là, qui tombé dans un taille, gros épidémie ça. Et Fomzo, actuellement, c'est une navale qui a fait beau débat dans le pays d'Haïti, dans toute station radio qui a passé, c'est question choléra qui a fait actualité. Et tout le monde branché, tout le monde a suivi la situation, hein, parce que la situation commence à faire beau ravage dans tout le pays. Hein, et Fomzo, il a attaqué exactement, il a attaqué zone à Pacaé, et actuellement, là, il y a des cas qui sont en Lagonave. Et Fomzo, dans la base, et la Tibonite, et gagné plus parce que 200 personnes qui sont mortes. Et dans la zone plateau central, bas plateau central, spécialement dans Mibale, ensuite bas plateau, il y a une dizaine de monde qui déjà sont mortes. Et il y a des milliers de monde qui déjà hospitalisés qui prennent soin. Et forme de bien, une situation vraiment grave, il y a un pile gros débat à faire, un pile disposition, surtout au niveau gouvernement. Il y a plus de dispositions qui pour permettre que le choléra ne pas propager dans l'autre ville qui n'a pas pays d'Haïti.
All right, basically, he said, first off, he would like to extend his condolences to the family of those, particularly in the Central Plateau region, because they had experienced a large number of deaths in that area. And as far as the news spreading in Haiti, it's like right now in Haiti, that's like the big news. It's all on the radio and it's on the television, and people are really staying close to like their radios and you know, just staying in tune to what is going on as far as the outbreak, the cholera outbreak, particularly in the Artibonite area where this news first broke out. Right now, they're reporting about 200 deaths in that particular area, and it's pretty. And then he said that there are other areas, close regions, like the Lagunas area, that have started, you know, experiencing having some sick people as well. And overall, this is a devastating situation, and there are groups right now in Haiti trying to see how they could best control this disease spreading to other parts.
Eileen, it has been reported that some of the patients said they drank water from a public canal, while others said they bought bottled water. Is that bottled water contaminated to the best of his ability? Best of his knowledge?
Yo pran de l'eau et spécialement dans zone la Tibonite moun yo parfois kon boire de l'eau qui sorti dans fleuve la Tibonite et c'est mon quoi et micro gars sorti exactement dans fleuve là et c'est moun sa yo et forme ou bien moun qui sont ces victimes plus sur ces moun qui sorti dans bloc Saint-Marc et gain dans première section Saint-Marc ensuite septième section première section et septième section qui Saint-Marc et puis dans première section et Grand Saline. Et c'est dans la zone ça où mon victime parce que pas oublier fleuve là c'est de l'eau ça où mon presque utilisé yo boit de l'eau ensuite yo servi avec lui yo baigne etc. Ça veut dire microbes là sont exactement dans le fleuve là c'est ça que fait et ministre Lafen et il décrété état d'urgence justement pour mon yo pas utiliser aucun et poisson qui sorti dans le fleuve là parce que mon yo mange pas oublier mon yo mange poisson et tout. Et tout bagage ça yo poisson déjà il y a microbe là-dedans et tout bagage ça yo c'est lui même qui produit maladie qui la gagne gros et problème ça dans zone Balatibonite.
OK. It's within the river that is close to it's in the Artibonite area, particularly specifically in the first section of St. Mark and the first section of Desaline, where the water is contaminated. And basically, you know, for the most part, you know, this is pretty much the countryside of Haiti, and he says that you know. We use the water for all purposes. They cook with it, they bathe it, so it's a all-purpose water. So with that said, the water is contaminated. So right now, the minister's office since the outbreak, has been advising the people not drink the water or use that water, and also not to eat fish or any food that's coming from that particular source. So, right now, that's too much
for that. Could you imagine after this earthquake that residents are being asked not to eat something because it'll be could be detrimental to their health? Has President Rene Préval, or what has President Rene Préval said either on radio or television with regard to this epidemic?
Okay. Nixon, pendant nouvelle en choléra a sorti et qui sa président Préval dit avec la place like, c'est qui qui message que lui baille
forme de bien hier président a parlé ensuite il y a ministre gouvernement en général il a décrété état d'urgence justement. Il y a des mesures qui prend, par exemple, pour le monde, et nous prenons par exemple nous prenons pour candidat ou qu'on est qui n'a pas campagne électorale. Je demande pour aucun candidat pas pénétrer dans la zone pour y faire regroupement, par exemple quand on fait meeting dans la zone ça. Parce que son maladie qui est très contagieuse, et dans la mesure où yo aller dans la zone ça, il y a une pile contamination de cassette, et laisse ça il y a pile l'autre monde qui a gagné maladie. Hein. Justement, il faut éviter pour Montaïo de parler de cette campagne dans la zone Taïo pour le moment actuel, avant que le gouvernement prenne des dispositions pour régler les questions hein, avant que Montaïo aille dans la zone Taïo. Ensuite, il y a demandé pour toutes les mesures de précaution pour Montaïo éviter. Et si par exemple, il y a des ambulances métriques dans la zone qui sont assez loin, yo, et si mon n'a pas de problème nan, qui attaque immédiatement, si vous n'avez pas de moyens de transport, vous avez des numéros à disposition, des numéros de téléphone, vous avez les ambulances pour que vous puissiez vous prendre dans la distance. Si vous n'avez pas de zone vraiment loin, vous n'avez pas de ambulance là, vous avez des mesures de précaution. Par exemple, tant que si mon n'a senti qu'il y a une diarrhée, immédiatement qu'il y a une diarrhée, il n'y a pas de sérum moral qui est ensemble avec lui pour le paquet de sérum moral là. Il est capable de prendre un gallon de l'eau et puis il mette sucre là-dedans et puis il mette sel. Ensuite, il est capable de brûler par contre goutte en attendant qu'il arrive dans le centre de santé qui pique le bol à Kalia pour le guetter un soin. Et comme je dis, l'hôpital Saint-Nicolas dans Saint-Marc n'a pas de place encore pour qu'il y ait des malades. Pas de place encore pour monde qui est affecté, pas de place encore pour qu'il y ait au contraire, c'est le gouvernement est obligé de mettre l'autre centre de santé tout près parce qu'il n'y a pas de monde qui est déjà affecté par maladie, hein, par épidémie, hein, il n'y a pas de mener dans l'autre centre hospital où il y a le prend soin, il n'y a pas contaminer l'autre monde qui est dans la zone. Yo. Et il y a pas de mesures pour machines, voitures par exemple, qui allait aux environs de l'hôpital, pour ne pas pénétrer en dans l'hôpital qui a un monde qui a une maladie, justement pour ne pas contaminer. Il y a un peu d'alerte qui est fait pour éviter l'autre monde prend maladie à venir entrer dans l'autre commune avec.
Bon, pose une question. Si vous avez des gens qui sont contaminés, vous ne pouvez pas aller dans l'autre hôpital pour l'autre monde n'est pas malade. Et ce qui s'est fait avec vous, vous avez des gens dans le même hôpital là, ou c'est que les gens qui sont séparés, les gens qui sont séparés.
Exactement. Vous connaissez normalement, c'est dans la zone de la Tibonite avec un plateau central. Il y a l'hôpital spécialement pour qu'il y ait monde. Tout le monde qui est censé affecter, il y a même l'hôpital, il y a même l'autre monde qui a même maladie avec lui, il n'y a pas aller dans l'autre hôpital avec lui, justement, pour ne pas contaminer l'autre monde.
Ok, par exemple, okay, he says overall, there has been some communication, really, between the president and the ministers from the various sectors. And there are a couple of messages that have been going out. One of the first things is advising the people to not drink the water. You know, some of like you know, basically the same health advisories that's been going on in the radio and some of the televisions as well. And one of the things that that was communicated was that you know they advised against any of the presidential candidates going to these areas. You know, speaking this as an opportunity for them to campaign for their presidency. So that was a message that was sent out on because this is a delicate situation. You want to be sensitive about what's going on. So they're advising the candidates to stay away from these regions. You know, until they get a handle of what's going on over there in the Antipodean area, the same mark and the Salunas. He's also basically advising everyone to take the appropriate precautions. Right now, they have issued telephone numbers to these individuals that are in this remote, I mean, that is in these areas. They give them phone numbers to ambulance, you know, ambulance services. You know, they can't get to the hospital, so that way they could have an ambulance go and pick them up and take them to a nearby hospital, and they're advising those that are probably that are too far out and they cannot get an ambulance to them, what they're advising them to do is to take a gallon of water and put a little salt and sugar in it and drink it until they could get to a nearby hospital. And he also reported that St. Nicholas Hospital that is located in St. Mark, right now they really don't have any space at all for patients. And so, and another thing that they're doing is that they're separating, they're keeping the infected people down. Say, for example, one of the hospitals have like a large number of people that are infected. They're keeping them at these hospitals. They're not sending them. They're not transferring them to any other hospitals. They want to be able to have a control of the people that are contaminated. They don't want to, they don't want to have them in hospitals where people are not infected, so that way that the disease doesn't spread. So basically, that's where they're at right now.
This obviously will affect the upcoming November 28th elections. And Nixon attended a rally yesterday for one of the presidential candidates who was in the Orlando area last weekend. Five of the candidates were at the Eckerd College last Saturday, with their platform. If he can just briefly give us an idea as to how that rally went yesterday and which one of those candidates addressed the gathering yesterday.
The gathering took place in Haiti?
Yes.
Mbap leti manifestasyon, men te genye an goup moun ki te vini pou yo te pale de pou te jantal sou televisyon an kap vini konya. Avek tout palay kap pase konya avek e situasyon kolo a. E tout moun pase ke sa kafek, sa kagen an afek sou kapany avek sou televisyon. So that way women like sous terra hier qui ça qui nous va qui t'a fait la réunion ça des situations.
Est-ce que vous avez une question pour moi s'il vous plaît parce que le message a coupé de bout par bout.
Ok, te gagné yon réunion hier à Haïti avec des élections 2010 là. Ok, et je voulais connaître qui nouvelle ou qui ça qui te parlait des situations à Konya, est-ce qu'il y a quelqu'un candidat qui te parlait de ça ou qui nouvelle qui sortit dehors des situations de Konya?
Et comme je dis, hier, moi, c'est dans la campagne, allé pour un reportage, et mon campagne, un sénateur élu, avec le président c'était ouverture campagne hier, j'ai couvert le reportage parce que c'était plusieurs ouvertures campagne hier, il y a des candidats pour que j'aime commencer campagne aussi hier au faire ouverture campagne là. Et ensemble avec ces gens, et me battre au courant de me battre dans la ligne ça y est, bien entendu.
Okay, he says he was at a meeting where they had a couple of the presidential candidates, Jean Seyon and several others that are starting to open up their campaigns, and that he was there particularly to give a report. But therefore, he says that he was not at that particular gathering, so he really don't have, he doesn't know what really took place there. Hello?
Hello.
Monsieur Renville, merci beaucoup.
Ok, merci, et nous saluons tout le monde. Nous dit tout le monde, n'a pas toujours été mobilisé, et en cas citoyen du plus, nous a toujours allé, et puis n'a pas toute information gain. D'accord, merci.
Okay, and Nixon says that he sends his greetings to everyone and that they will, the people in Haiti will continue to be mobilized and that they will keep us abreast of all the breaking news in Haiti.
Merci, merci.
Okay,
merci.
Okay,
merci.
Okay,
merci.
Okay,
merci.
Thank you very much. We've been chatting with correspondent Nixon Ranville on the ground in Haiti, giving us an update as to the cholera outbreak there in Haiti, as well as at least one of the rallies that is being held by a couple of the presidential candidates there in Haiti with the upcoming election on November 28th. We're going to take a short break, and we're going to continue with Eileen Josephat, who is, as usual, working diligently for her brothers and sisters in Haiti and around the world, as she and her colleagues have embarked on yet another project. We're going to take a break, and we'll come back and chat with Eileen for a few. We'll be right back.
Set sail with the Uhuru Movement and the African People's Socialist Party on December 12th through 18th for a 7-day cruise to Key West, Grand Cayman, and Ocho Rios, Jamaica, aboard the luxurious Carnival Freedom cruise ship. Special guests include our very own Chairman Omali Eshetela, leader of the Uhuru Movement, and the very talented Ron Bob Simple, creator of The Spirit of Marcus Garvey, a one-man show in which Simple delivers an uncanny exactness of the legendary Garvey, transporting the onlooker back to the time of the revolutionary spirit that gave birth to the African Socialist International. Cabin prices are from $519 per person. Double occupancy and deposits start as low as $50 today, $250 by July 12th. For more information, please visit our website at uhurulegacycruise.com. That's uhurulegacycruise.com. Book your room today with Tanya's Travel by calling 352-232-2131 or by email at tanyastravel@bellsouth.net. We hope you all can set sail with us on the ship named for our struggle, freedom. Uhuru.
You're listening to uhururadio.com, voice of the International African Revolution.
To a throne stronger than Rome, but violent prone, poor people's own. But it's my home, all I have known, where I got grown, streets we would roam. Out of the darkness I came the farthest, among the hardest survival. Learn from these streets, it can be bleak, accept no defeat, surrender, retreat.
So we're struggling,
fighting to eat, and we
wondering
when we'll be free, so we patiently wait for that fateful day. It's not far away, but for now we say,
when I get older, I will be stronger. They'll call me freedom, just like a waving flag. And then it goes back, and then it goes back, and then it goes back, and then it goes. When I get older, I will be stronger. They'll call me freedom, just like a waving flag. And then it goes back, and then it goes back, and then it goes back. Oh.
When I get older, I will be stronger. They'll call me freedom, just like a waving flag.
Goes back. Whoa. So many wars settled in stores. people still struggling and assume that it's really all love again. Nah, see, we don't have to wait for things to break apart. If you weren't involved before, it's never too late to start. You probably think that it's too far to even have to care. Well, take a look at where you live. What if it happened there? You have to know the urge to make a change lies within, and we can be the reason that they see their flag rise again.
When I get older, I will be stronger. They'll call me freedom, just like a waving flag. And then it goes back, and then it goes back.
Yes, welcome back to Caribbean Forum with me, Ron Bob Semple. All morning, we've been talking about One Caribbean. We've been talking with them. With Austin Tuitt, with his book, The Global Caribbean Representation, and we did get an opportunity to talk with our correspondent in Haiti, Nixon Ranville, giving us an update as to what the response and the reaction has been to the cholera outbreak in Haiti after that devastating earthquake 9 months ago. This is something that was feared, especially coupled with the hurricanes that passed through the region, the flooding that has taken so many lives. When it was first reported last week, it was reported that the over 100 people had lost their lives due to the flooding, not knowing that it had been that the beginning of that outbreak of cholera. And as you heard, translating for us, it was Eileen Josephat. She's the founder and president of Kalos International, a nonprofit organization which is primarily located in the Tampa Bay region. But she is on the road as usual, and she helped us out tremendously again. And again, publicly, I'd like to thank you, Eileen, for assisting us in translating from Haiti. Now, Eileen, you are in Nueva York.
Right, yes. It's a nice, warm Nueva York. I'm telling you, I'm like, people are like, yeah, she's from Florida.
Wait a minute. You are a Floridian, and I'm speaking to you in New York, and you're talking about the nice, warm weather in New York in October.
I'm being sarcastic.
Well, Eileen, welcome back to Caribbean Forum, and thanks again. Eileen, as I mentioned, that you are the president of Kalos International, and right now you and your colleagues are embarking on yet another project, which you'll just share briefly with us. But just for our listeners, just bring up to date with what Kalos is and what you have done, what your goals are, and then you can just tell us about your current project that you are embarking on.
Okay, Kalos International, our mission is, right now we have our project right now where we're working on, our long-term mission is we want to build a boarding school in Haiti, in the outskirts of Port-au-Prince. Basically, we're targeting orphan children and children, underprivileged children as well. So that is a long-term project that we're working on and that we're very diligent in putting all of our resources together so we can make that happen. As for each year, we do a Christmas Hope banquet, and this banquet takes place in Haiti. And it started, the first year was in December 2008, where we would invite orphan children from various orphanages, and we'd take them to we've been having a banquet at the Hotel Montana located in Patronville, Haiti, and these children would come, and they would have like a guest speaker that comes out and speaks to them, give them the message of hope, inspire these kids, empower them, and letting them know that it's okay for them to dream and that their dreams can come true. And so with that, the kids get a four-course meal, they get backpacks with school supplies, they have live entertainment. We'll bring in like a dance troupe or a dance school that will come in and perform for the children, and it's really a whole night of fun, and the children really enjoy it, and it's something that they've never really experienced in their lives. So we've had the the banquet in Haiti in December 2008 to December 2009, and from my side, we didn't know how it was going to look for 2010. You know, with the earthquake, because I actually left Haiti January 5th, and then the following week the earthquake happened, and so, and we, of course, everybody knows about the news that happened at the Hotel Montana, where they had like all the, you know, the tragic losses and stuff. So I am happy to report I was in Haiti in September, and I did get a chance to meet with the sisters. The Hotel Montana is owned by two sisters, and I did have an opportunity to speak to them earlier this year. And as of September, we are having the third annual Christmas Hope Banquet in Haiti at the Hotel Montana. So we're really excited about that.
Congratulations are in order.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. So apparently, because with Hotel Montana, they did lose their hotel side, but they also had apartments. And the apartments were built against the mountain. And so, and they still have their banquet halls, and they have, like, one of their kitchens. And so, so a part of their establishment is still intact, and they are open for business. And so right now we're actually, so we're in a planning stage. Right now we have a date of December 18th of 2010 for the third annual Christmas banquet. And so I hope to get an opportunity as we get them, get the banquet more finalized, to come out, to come back on your show and to pretty much tell people about it, and so they could find out how they can sponsor it. We're targeting 150 children from three different orphanages. So that way, I mean, with everything that's happening with the earthquake and the cholera and everything, you know, we wanted, you know, I think it's well-deserved, you know, for this year, for, you know, so where we could host a large quantity of children and, you know, and make, you know, and help them to have a beautiful Christmas. So,
speaking of the earthquake and the cholera, yes. This may be an unfair question for me to ask you, but it is obvious that psychologically, the people of Haiti are again being affected severely on the heels of the earthquake, trying to pick up the pieces, still trying to move the rubble, the rains that came because of the deforestation in Haiti. It's difficult for those waters to be retained. Now this outbreak of cholera, psychologically, you know, how are our brothers and sisters possibly coping with what's going on?
For the most part, I know I've been in communications with Haiti since the cholera outbreak, and people are at this point. I mean, some of the sentiment is basically, it's like, you know, what have we done? Well, you know, why are we, you know, what are we paying for it? You know, and it's like, oh, here's something else. And pretty much the mood is kind of, you know, really, it's really, people are really devastated. People are wondering, you know, when is it going to end? And, you know, why Haiti again? I mean, we're still trying to recover from the earthquake. So, I mean, which is a natural reaction, I suppose, you know, I mean, you're just coming out of one devastation and going into another, but pretty much on edge about everything that's going on.
As we have mentioned on this broadcast, that millions of dollars were pledged week or 2 weeks after the earthquake, and a very small percentage of those pledged dollars have been received by the authorities there in Haiti. It is, it was perceived or expected that because of the earthquake, because of the fact that so many of the residents had to be living in just very close proximity to each other, in makeshift tents, the lack of clean water, lack of food. As you mentioned in your report, that residents have been asked not to eat fish, and they're getting little as it is. Were provisions made for the possibility of this cholera outbreak? Because I've been reading last night and early this morning that there are organizations that are now moving back into Haiti to assist with this outbreak.
As far as provisions being made as a prevent a step. I am not sure, not that I am aware of. I don't think that took place. However, you know, you have the WHO, the World Health Organization, at one point did raise a concern of a possible epidemic breaking out in Haiti, you know, as a result of our earthquake and the living conditions. And you know, now we're actually starting to see that coming into fruition. And as of, and you're absolutely right, there are organizations now that are, I mean, they've been in Haiti, but then, you know, probably less active, but now are now going back to Haiti and getting and help and assisting the, like, the local doctors and nurses and with this crisis. And I know some of the organizations that are going out there right now. You have the UN, which, you know, they've always been out there. You have the UN, the Red Cross, which have always been out there as well. And then you have PAHO, which is the Pan American Health Organization. So you have these groups there. You know, they're out there and they're recruiting and they're bringing in people so they could help with the situation.
Hey, it's heartbreaking to even think, especially those who have been making a concerted effort to get back on their feet and to see some light and looking forward to the November 20th election with the hope that there would be better governing in Haiti. I'm kind of lost for words because it's tough, you know. I mean, that what's happening in the throughout the Caribbean. And if I may just interject, because we had been reporting the last couple of weeks, especially in our news segment, of the illness of the Prime Minister of Barbados, and I just got on the wire via my BlackBerry that we've lost the Honorable David Thompson, the Prime Minister of Barbados. He passed away this morning at about 2:10 a.m. from the pancreatic cancer that he'd been treated for up in New York. And our condolences go out to the entire nation of Barbados and its residents and Mrs. Thompson and their family. Our condolences go out to the entire family from us here at Uhuru Radio Network. Eileen, you have made a concerted effort to continue to assist your brothers and sisters in Haiti. And as I mentioned earlier, while we were talking with Nixon, that there were several candidates, five to be exact, or possibly six of the candidates were in the Tampa Bay region in St. Petersburg specifically, with their platform to lead the country of Haiti. What kind of leader do you feel, and I'm not throwing this at you from a really political point of view, but what type of leader do you think Haiti needs right now to get that country out of the doldrums in which it is right now?
From the human aspect, I would say the type of leader Haiti needs right now is a compassionate leader. Because overall, you know, Haiti, with everything that's going on, you know, Haiti really needs a president, you know, that was, and I believe that, you know, God will select the appropriate leader to go into that office and to get to work and you know, and address the current needs and also getting the people on their feet. And this leader that's coming in, they have to be compassionate. They have to be, you know, because we're talking about a country where it's almost, 90%, you know, poor, and these people have been overlooked for years and decades. And it's come to a point where that has to stop, and we need to really, you know, focus on, you know, on the masses and getting these people on their feet so Haiti could be that once productive country that it used to be. And I believe, I strongly believe, and I have faith in God that will happen. You know, some people have their opinions about that, but I honestly believe that because it is time for that change.
There are 19 candidates running for this presidential elections. Wouldn't it be much more advantageous if the candidates can really understand the need and, as you mentioned, the compassion that Haiti needs to really mold and get the whole infrastructure back to some sense of normalcy, to collectively pool their resources, their ideas and whatnot, you know, we narrow it down to maybe three or four candidates who the residents can really make an honest choice for, rather than having to divvy it up among 19 candidates. What do you think, Eileen?
I strongly support the idea of the candidates pulling together for the greater cause, you know, for the people of Haiti. I totally support that. At the same time, this is like it's such a sensitive thing, but for me, for the most part, I believe. You would just hope, even with the top four, that you know that their campaign or their platform or whatever you know method they're using, and their campaigning efforts, that they would seriously, you know, have a plan in place to really address the situation in Haiti, you know.
Well, Eileen, thank you very much for your contribution on this broadcast and continued support that you're giving your brothers and sisters in Haiti along with your colleagues. And if one would like to get in touch with you and Kalos International, how can one do that?
Okay. So if you could contact me by my phone number is 813-394-1331. My email address is ajoapahat@kalosintl.org. And we do have a date for the Christmas banquet this year. It'll be in December 18th. This is Saturday, December 18th, 2010, at the Hotel Montana. Yay.
Well, congratulations again, Eileen. I would like to join you, but I'll be on the December 18th. I would be, I'll be on board the Freedom Ship and the Garvey Legacy Cruise. We'll be on our way back from Jamaica, the cruise from December 12th through the 18th. But all the best to you, and you'll obviously keep us updated with what's going on. If you'd like to get in touch with Kalos International and Eileen Josaphat, it's ajosaphat@kalosintl.org. Is it INTL or INT?
INTL.org.
Okay. ajosaphat@kalosintl.org. Eileen, thank you again very much, and all the best to you and your colleagues.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for having me.
You're very much welcome. Well, come October 27th, the next week, the people of St. Vincent and the Grenadines will be celebrating their 31st anniversary of independence. We'll take a short break, and then we pay a tribute to the people of St. Vincent and the Grenadines.
You're listening to WhoRadio.com, voice of the International African Revolution.
Set sail with the Uhuru Movement and the African People's Socialist Party on December 12th through 18th for a 7-day cruise to Key West, Grand Cayman, and Ocho Rios, Jamaica, aboard the luxurious Carnival Freedom cruise ship. Special guests include our very own Chairman Omali Eshetela, leader of the Uhuru Movement, and the very talented Ron Bob Simple, creator of The Spirit of Marcus Garvey, a one-man show in which Simple delivers an uncanny exactness of the legendary Garvey, transporting the onlooker back to the time of the revolutionary spirit that gave birth to the African Socialist International. Cabin prices are from $519 per person. Double occupancy and deposits start as low as $50 today, $250 by July 12th. For more information, please visit our website at UhuruLegacyCruise.com. That's UhuruLegacyCruise.com. Book your room today with Tanya's Travel by calling 352-232-2131 or by email at tanyastravel@bellsouth.net. We hope you all can set sail with us on the ship named for our struggle, freedom. Uhuru.
St. Vincent and the Grenadines is a unique group of 32 islands and keys in the heart of the Southern Caribbean. With a population of approximately 110,000, it is one of the more untouched and unspoiled gems of the Antilles. With a history of colonialism culminating finally with the British, these islands gained their independence in 1979. Of this group of islands, commonly known as SVG, Bekwe is the second largest, and it is home to an old and rich history of fishing and boat building, making it a favorite amongst marine enthusiasts to this day. While Bekwe settlers tried their hands at various agricultural pursuits, it was its maritime activities that the island soon came to be known for. The waters surrounding Bekwe were known to be rich fishing grounds, and whalers from the nearby United States of America often ventured south to the island for their big catch. It was for this reason that the history of boat building began in Bekwe in the 1800s. In the 20th century, Bekwe dominated the boat and shipbuilding industry in the Grenadines. Although Bekwe's golden age of shipbuilding has regrettably now passed, descendants of the island's original boat builders are still practicing their craft on the island today, employing skills and methods that have been perfected from generation to generation. 21st century Bekwe retains its proud seafaring heritage, developing many social and cultural practices as a result. Bekwe welcomes you to explore it. Bekwe was well known across the Eastern Caribbean for its boat building. The island's builders designed vessels that became the standard in the region. The tiny island managed to create its own double-ended whaleboat and a unique style of schooner that was popular across the region for transporting both passengers and cargo. Only one such schooner remains today. Captain Lewis tells us a bit about the history of the Friendship Rose.
I am Captain of the Friendship Rose now for 43 years. From the time she was launched, I'm the captain. Up to now, still there as captain. Friendship Rose was built by the Adams family and I, along with our uncle Ernest Adams. It was Raymond locally built here in Bekwe. Everything was done in Bekwe. It was built on Friendship Day, and it was launched in 1967. At present, we are taking trips, carrying tourists from Bekwe to our Tobago Keys, to Mustique, to St. Vincent. And if you want us to go to Maya, we'll go to anywhere you want us to go, we'll go out there.
The people of Bekwe have played an important role in boat building history. It is important to them not to let that history and tradition die. Many ideas have cropped up in an effort to preserve it. Books have been written, museums have been established. But it is the model boat which best imparts the true beauty and craftsmanship of Bekwe's boats. As children, the residents of Bekwe started making models of boats out of coconut shells. Due to the shell's high buoyancy, they could often be seen floating out to sea. Soon, the kids began the coconut boat race, an annual event which takes place during the Easter regatta. Joe, a teacher, very involved with the kids, tells us a bit about this practice.
My name is Giovanni Rose. We're engaging ourselves in the 2010 Easter Val activities. Today, Easter Saturday, we're having the coconut boat race. The coconut boat race is a traditional race that we have made from coconut shells. Long ago, it started with the coconut shell and the breadfruit leaf. But as time goes by, we modify them into cloth sails. So we have coconut boats with cloth sails and race them. We also have some other boats that we call gum boats, and they have developed into model boats as well.
It was this practice that led to more skilled artisans refining and honing their skills over time. Some, as kids, graduated from the making of coconut boats to the building of gum boats, until they eventually taught themselves to create these carefully crafted, hand-chiseled model boats.
I started making model boats when I was about 16 years old. We started out making the coconut shell ones, and then, you know, we get into the gum boats. As far as I can remember as history, As a little boy, we loved the waterfront. And we would see the older folks build the big gunboats. And I remember Sergeant Robinson. We used to have a police car, Sergeant Robinson, here. And they used to go down, way down Western Key and sail the boat right up into the harbor. And so I became interested.
These models are lovingly and painstakingly crafted to be exact replicas of the boats of old. If you visit Beckway today, you can walk into one of the model boat shops, watch the artists at work, and talk to them about the history of boat building in Beckway, a story which they're only too happy to share. The Beckway Easter Regatta is a celebration of Beckway's traditions of boat building and seamanship. No one knows exactly how or why it all started, but it's nice to imagine that it all began with the local boat builders themselves having crafted their perfect vessel and setting out to test their seaworthiness against their competitors in the open waters. This practice evolving year after year into the international competition the regatta has now become. It brings people together from all over the world, whether they be yachtsmen or not, for 4 days of activities in and around the Beckway coastline. It's a fabulous, colorful weekend, full of fun and camaraderie, skill and tradition, with the whole island caught up in regatta fever. Easter Sunday rings in the other regatta festivities along with the main races. Lower Bay becomes a grand fete, while Friendship Bay comes alive with beach games, a crazy craft race, and a sandcastle competition. Model boat races hit the shores in Hamilton, and impromptu barbecues, music, and revelry can be found all over the big little island that is Beckway. So many of us think that once you've seen one Caribbean island, you've seen them all. But no place on earth disproves that notion quite like St. Vincent and the Grenadines. The first three inhabited islands of the chain are so different that if they were human, they would not even share the same DNA. Mustique, with its manicured lawns and palatial mansions, is the stomping grounds of the rich and famous. St. Vincent, the mainland, with its lush rainforests, waterfalls, and black sand beaches, is known more for soft adventure and eco-travel, while also being fertile ground for an agriculture-based economy. But Beckway is all about the sea. The Beckway Tourism Association provided ground support in the production of this film. Jeline, employed by the association, was a great guide and had some words of her own to share about the island that she calls home.
There's lots to do and see on Beckway. There's the Tortoise Sanctuary. There's the fort, which has historical cannons. There's the building of model boat shops just in Oka, and also the Maritime Museum. Visitors travel from all over the world for special events such as the Beckway Music Festival, the Beckway Easter Regatta, and the New Year fireworks celebrations. There's many ways to see Beckway, but if you really want to take Beckway in, you can do it by our local taxi drivers. Our taxi drivers are very knowledgeable about the history, and they are very willing to share their history about the island with you. Come and visit the big little island, Beckway.
It is important to the people of Beckway, and on a larger scale, St. Vincent and the Grenadines, to find a niche for ourselves in this world. Our history is ours. Our traditions are ours. It is often said that we should work with what we know. Beckwayans know how to build boats. There are also many other historical, cultural, and geographic features that make SVG right for investment. Invest SVG, the investment promotions agency of St. Vincent and the Grenadines, actively promotes these investment opportunities and is also examining ways of boosting the growth of Beckway's boat building and model boat building industries.
Yes, our history is ours. That's a little history of St. Vincent and the Grenadines. A happy 31st anniversary to the people of St. Vincent and the Grenadines come October 27th. I'd like to thank our guest today, Austin Tewitt, the author of Global Caribbean Representation. I'd also like to thank our correspondent on the ground in Haiti, Nixon Ronville, and Eileen Josephat, who have been translating for us and who also heads that Kalos International organization, which is doing superb work for her brothers and sisters in Haiti. And those in Haiti are now being hit with the cholera epidemic. Remember that after hardship comes relief. And also, again, like to extend condolences to the people and the government of Barbados, who've lost their prime minister, Mr. David Thompson, who passed away this morning, made his transition after suffering from pancreatic cancer. Watch your thoughts, they become words. Watch your words, they become actions. Watch your actions, they become habits. Watch your habits, they become character. Watch your character, for it becomes your destiny. Remember those 10 two-letter words. If it is to be, it is up to me. I'm Ron Bob Semple here on Caravan Forum on the Uhuru Radio Network. See you next week. Have yourself a safe one.
Why give up the world?